one thing?
Yeah.
Well, I turned it on to green.
Pull the trigger and it should have been.
Thank you. Somebody, how many, no matter how many times I do this, I'm nervous wreck to get up here and do this. I don't know why, but anyway. It's my duty this morning to go over our budget and our finances here. And those of you visiting with us, if you'll bear with us this morning, something that we try to do during the first quarter of every year, kind of give our church here, the church that we serve, and that we take our responsibilities very seriously. Some information about our plans and about our goals and our past accomplishments. So this morning we'll start with the budget. Contribution comparisons. We'll see here that we've had some drop in our contributions. We have 4,162 in 2012, down to 3,552 during 2015. Our budget was 3,705, so we're about $153 under budget, $153 a month, which is just under $8,000 for the year. As you'll see as we continue this discussion, we had some shortfall in our expenses versus our contributions. If y'all will bear with me, I'm a banker and I'm used to talking about income and expenses. This is not a business, this is a church. So if I slip up and use the wrong terminology, if you'll bear with me, I'd appreciate it. During 2015, our regular contributions were $184,738.09. Special contributions for the African Saints, there are Christians in Botswana, Zimbabwe, and South Africa that are sustenance farmers, and they have suffered from extended drought and heat. And by the way, they continue to suffer from this. But these were special contributions that we took up here at Olson Park, and we were able to send those Christians $17,225 for their needs. Total contributions $201,963. That includes the regular plus the special. Summary of expenses for 2015. We have regular budgeted expenses $199,000. Actually, our budget was a little less than that, but those were just our regular expenses, if you will, not including the African Saints relief. Relief is administered and sent through a gospel preacher that we have a lot of confidence in, that's actually lives in South Africa and works with churches in Zimbabwe and Botswana. So our total contributions, total contributions were $201,000. Total expenses were $216,000. So we had a shortfall of $14,000, a little over $14,000. And we're fortunate that we had the cash in the bank to cover that shortfall. You see here that we started the year with a balance of $65,000. End of year, we had $51,000. We had a net reduction of $14,000. We're always testing ourselves and asking ourselves, is that too much? Should we be doing more with that? Is that enough to cover any kind of emergencies that we might have? So believe me, this is something that we look at and we talk about, I won't say all the time, but fairly often about our cash balance and what would God desire for us to do? What is His desire? And we just hope and we pray that as your servants and as servants of God, that we're doing the right thing with the treasury here at Olson Park. Funds used to preach the gospel, that would be the gospel here at Olson Park. Support Kyle Pope, full-time gospel preacher, and Andrew Dow, who was part of our preacher training program the first part of 2015. Also, we help support men that we know to be sound gospel preachers. Javier Palomeros, he's a preacher in Dumas and here in Amarillo, a Spanish-speaking individual that preaches to the Spanish-speaking congregations here and in Dumas. Richard Thetford at Fort Collins, Colorado. Warren Schultz is the preacher I spoke of a minute ago in South Africa. Derek Chambers, a gospel preacher in Albuquerque, and Tim Stevens in Kemp, Texas. The amount that we use to support these gentlemen, we just talked about these five gentlemen, total for 2015 was $18,400, and we have committed for 2016 $17,400. So we're thankful, and I think members here are appreciate the fact that we're able to support these men. And we also have two gospel meetings every year. We plan on one in the spring, 2015 spring. We have Brother Roger Schaus from Indiana. And in the fall, we have Brother Brady Cook from Greenville, Texas here. Our 16, we had our gospel meeting in January with Brother Tommy Peeler from Florida. And this fall, we hope to have and plan to have Brother Brent Hoagland from Kansas City, Missouri. That's scheduled for sometime in September. We started something, I think this will be our third year, is that right? A summer Bible study. And we plan to continue that in 2016. We had great participation from our Bible class teachers and from our members here. And felt like that's is good work. It's a good effort. And we plan to continue that summer Bible study. And our preachers from the surrounding area have participated in this and made talks to us. It's a three evening Bible study. Our budget for 2016 is $181,000, which is $3,488 per week. That's regular. Doesn't have a lot of money, extra money in that. There's not a lot of extra money in that $3,488. We'll probably need to do some work to the parking lot to make sure that it maintains its integrity, and we may have to use some money out of our savings in order to do that. But anyway, $3,488. Preacher training. We hope to continue that preacher training program. That's a lot of work for Kyle, and we've kind of given him a little break, and I guess everybody else a little break as well. We hope to continue that in the future. We feel like that's a good work. We'll need to have some maybe a little financial growth, and hopefully numerical growth in order to assure that we can continue that preacher training program. Okay? I want to make sure, again, I don't want to belabor this too much, but make sure that everybody understands that the elders here, we take our positions very seriously, and we always look to make sure that we have authority. We study and we talk to make sure we have authority to spend the money that is contributed, and that it's God's money that's collected here. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that. That's it.
want to cover some statistics and membership numbers and things like that over the last few years we've had, and this particularly this last year. Before I do that, though, I would like to tell Jeff and Kyle both, I appreciate working with you guys. This year has been pretty good. I don't want to make it sound like we're having parties, but sometimes things get real serious and get difficult to do, and these guys are very understanding and helpful and easy to work with, and I appreciate that very much. Also, would like to say thank to Brother Kelly, Chuck Kelly, for getting all these numbers together for us, for keeping up with all these numbers, and it's a lot of work, and he's done it for us, so it allows us to kind of put things in perspective and look at them. But I appreciate it, Chuck, very much. Thank you for what you do. Membership and attendance we're going to look at here real quick on our membership statistics. We look at a three-year period, usually 2013, 14, and 15. With baptisms, we're kind of off on our lines there a little bit, but 2013 we had three baptized, 2014 two, and this last year also we had three. Restored to the faith, 3, 1, and 1. Moved in, we all kind of look at these sometimes and wonder about our growth and things. 2013 we had 23 people moved in, which was, it's amazing to me that you have that many in 1 year, but then 14 was 6, and last year we had 11. When we look at that as far as people that are moving away or changing jobs and going different directions, we had minus 7 in 2013. We had minus 22 in 2014, and minus 9 in 2015. It's interesting to me that if you look at those are very, very similar numbers. If you look across a three-year period, it's like 38 and 40. So people moving in and people moving out is really not giving us a big bump. It's not killing us one way or the other, but it's kind of holding its own. So that's what we had for that. Passed away, our members that have died. In 2013, we had one. 2014, we lost one. And this last year in 2015, we were lucky enough that we didn't lose anybody. But 2016 hit, and we've already been hit with that. So we know that has happened, and hopefully no more for this year. We do not record anybody right now as those left leaving the Lord in 13, 14, and 15. That does not mean that we don't have some people that have stopped coming or slow down their membership. As long as we are in contact with them and working with them and we think there's an opportunity to restore somebody, we are not going to leave them on that one. But a net and or positive or negative, 2013 we ended up with 20 plus, 2014 17. And then this last year, we're showing about a net gain of 2 members as far as all the categories we have there. Attendance, we had some changes this year, so we're going to kind of have to look at this a little bit different than we have over the years past. This is the year, this last year in 2015, halfway through the year, we changed our normal times for meeting on Sunday. So when we look at these, we'll look at it through the first half of 2015. Our Bible classes, we averaged 120 in 2013. 2014 was 119. And through July of 2015, we had dropped off a little bit to about 112. It's interesting to see when you see our changes, though, that kind of pops back up. Our morning worship service through July 2015. 2013, we averaged 139. 2014, 139. We dropped down a little bit to averaging around 133 through July of this last year. And then our evening services on Sunday, 2013 was 111. 2014 was 106. We dropped down a little bit. But then through July of this last year, we actually had picked up to 108. Wednesday night Bible classes, we averaged 110 in 13, 111 in 14, and then 104 through July of 2015. Now, when we switched the times that we were meeting, we wanted to look at that, so we have kind of a new process here. First thing in the morning when we come on Sunday, this so far this through December of 2015, I guess, August through December, we averaged 123. And then when we meet for Bible classes, it actually jumped a little bit up to 124. Second worship service, when we come in here later, we're dropping off to about 114. Our intentions, obviously, are to, you know, be here the whole time this in the morning or on Sunday. We understand there's a lot of people from different ages that have an issue with sitting and being in one place at one time. But those are the numbers that we've had so far through 2015. And we dropped off a little bit in that last, whatever, five-month period on Wednesday night to about an average of 105. And I believe that's it.
I want to echo what Patrick said a few moments ago. I count it an honor to work with these gentlemen, and I can testify that there is so much that goes on behind the scenes. Our hearts are intertwined with the concerns and the efforts that go on here, and there are times that we try to consider what needs to be done and what we ought to do, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that I want you all to know the work that these good men do for you. You know, throughout the time that I've been here at Olson Park, each year the eldership has set before the congregation some type of theme or some type of goal that we'd like to consider. Now, what's kind of interesting about that is throughout the 10 years that I've been here, just about every year we come down to the end of the year and kind of go, well, you know, we started off thinking a lot about that, and then as the year progressed, it becomes very difficult to continue with that. That doesn't mean that that's a bad thing to set a goal or to set kind of a theme. But this year we have chosen not to do that. Instead, what we have chosen to do, at least in my portion of our meeting this morning, is just kind of address a few things that as a congregation we probably ought to think about and not really set it as a goal or a theme, but just talk together a little bit about our relationship with one another as a church. I think we can recognize, and as we notice from the seven epistles that are sent to the churches in Asia, every church, every congregation has its own different set of strengths and weaknesses. And as we think about that, you know, as we individually may respond to that in our heart and soul and may think, well, what is the state of this congregation, or what is the condition of another congregation, or whatever it may be, I think that it's important for us as we do that to ask ourselves, how do we see the church? And what I mean by that is, just a moment ago, Jeff mentioned that the church is not a business. You know, I think that's a great point to make, because if we view the church the way that we would a business, perhaps either that we've run or that we've been an employee of or something like that, there are going to be certain kinds of things that we think about in relation to that, that may make us think good or bad about the current state of affairs, either here at Olson Park or as we look at other congregations. You know, whether we think about, well, you know, do the employees show up on time? Do they fulfill their tasks and their responsibilities? And there's some parallels, perhaps, that might be similar, but is that really the biblical pattern? You know, we may think, well, is it like a franchise? You know, it's interesting because they'll do statistics about organizations like McDonald's, in which they train them to do certain things in a certain way. You go into every McDonald's and everything is exactly the same way. You get a quarter pounder in New York City and it'll taste like a quarter pounder in Arizona. Now, is that the way we should think of the Lord's church? There are probably some similarities. We ought to be doing the same things and teaching the same things, but you know, people are different, and the way in which we have strengths and weaknesses will be different. Do we think of it like a club? You know, whether you're thinking of a social club in which people of a certain financial status are members, or if you're thinking about some club based on common interest, is that the way that we perceive of our relationship with one another in the church. There are probably some similarities in the fact that we together have an interest in the gospel, don't we? We together have an interest in the cause of Christ. But unlike some of those kinds of clubs, we're going to have people of all different backgrounds, of all different personal interests, of all different financial status. I think perhaps the question we need to ask is, how does the Lord describe the church and how we ought to see it? And there are perhaps many that we could find in Scripture, but I offer three to you that I'd like us to just notice briefly. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want us to notice that one of the ways in which the Lord's church is described is that of a kingdom. Beginning in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Now notice it's talking here about this relationship we have with one another, this church of the firstborn. But then skip down, if you would, as it's talking about the same group of people. Verse 28, listen to how it describes it. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." A kingdom has a number of characteristics. First of all, it has a king, doesn't it? And we have King Jesus that we serve. We are citizens of this kingdom. And so our relationship with one another is such that we have loyalty to one another. We are a part of the same kingdom. We are a part of the same subjection to our king. And you know, there's pride that goes with that. And I don't mean pride in the sense of arrogance, but I mean pride in the sense that we treat it as important. We are honored that we are a part of this kingdom. And I hope that we view it that way as we think about our relationship with one another in the church as a kingdom. But you know, it'll also be described as a service or an army. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, and let's notice in particular the way that brothers are described in their work with one another. And here in particular, Paul is talking to them about a particular man that they had great concern about in the church in Philippi. But I want us to notice something said. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, it says, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker," notice this, "and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." Think about that. It doesn't use the term army, but in speaking of Epaphroditus as a fellow soldier, it speaks of this relationship we share with one another as a type of service. We could look at other passages that talk about our spiritual warfare, but that's important for us to see in that way. Every week that we go out, we're in a battle. We get war wounded. We get scarred from the assaults of the enemy. And we come back together as a muster call in which we're trying to strengthen ourselves for the week ahead. We'll have those that will fall to the enemy. We'll have those that are that have had great victories in the battle against the enemy. But we need to see our loyalty to one another in the same way that we fight together against a common foe and we are engaged in the same spiritual battle. But finally, look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I want us to notice one of the most beautiful figures, I think, that we find of this relationship that we have with God in Christ. We speak of each other as brothers and sisters, and that's not because we share common DNA or because we have a common material or physical ancestry. But I want us to notice in the fact that in obedience to the gospel, we may be considered children of God. As was mentioned, Christ is our Savior And in the Lord's Supper, it was mentioned, he is our brother. We are family in the Lord. Beginning in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice the whole family in heaven and in earth. We are a part of a family. And in some cases, that bond that we share in Christ, we must make the conscious decision that that is of greater value than a bond that we share with someone in the flesh. But think with me about that for a few moments, because, you know, in your own families, is there ever a time in which any one of you has ever been able to say, you know, our family is just exactly the way it ought to be? You know, children, do you look at your parents and always say, well, you know, they're exactly the way that I want them to be? Or parents, do you look at your children, and has there ever been a time that there isn't something you wish that they could grow in or were strengthened in? All of us in our families will have those who have different difficulties, different strengths, different weaknesses. But it is that bond we share with one another because of our common familial relationship that holds us together. You know, it may be that those in the world around us will become alienated when there are differences, will become enemies when in fact they have different kinds of attitudes towards one another. But in Christ, if we are family, in Christ, if we are fellow soldiers, in Christ, if we are citizens of the same kingdom, all of that must be viewed different. I would challenge you this morning, if you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to be a part of this kingdom. You need to be a part of this great spiritual battle that is being waged, because there's only going to be one winning side. And it is to your best interest that you make certain that you are on that victorious side. But I challenge you as well to be a part of a family that includes God as our Father, Christ Jesus as our Savior and as our brother, and a bond between those who share a common faith that surpasses any other bond you can ever enjoy in this life. Would you not put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that would separate you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add you to His kingdom, to His body, to His family. Won't you come? Always stand and sing.